Got it.
I'm gonna res. Okay. We will now take verbal roll call. President Delmore.
Here.
Vice President Simon.
Here.
Secretary Abrahamian.
Here.
Alder Latimer Burris. Alder Miyaze. Board Member Callisto.
Present.
Okay.
Present.
Here.
Board Member Strozier. Chair, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. And our first item is approval of the minutes, which from last month, which Jody has on the screen. Any questions or comments? Okay. Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes from August?
I'll move approval.
Okay, and do we have a second? Charles seconds. How many are in favor? Please say aye.
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 Okay, that passes. Thank you. Jody, did we have any registered public comment?
We did not.
Okay, and board members, any disclosures or recusals? Seeing none, we are ready now, I think, for our first item of new business, which is authorizing the general manager to file on behalf of the water utility a conventional rate case with the Public Service Commission for the test year 2025. And I believe, Jody, we have a presentation.
Yes. And I'm not sure. So so Christy, how do I get that on here? Did you your presentation?
I think either you could share your screen or I could share my screen.
Yes, feel free to share your screen because
Okay, yeah.
so
Okay.
is it just the what we already had, or do you have something different?
It's the PowerPoint that you already have.
Oh, okay. Then I've got that lined up.
Okay, perfect.
Well, let me go back to that then.
Yeah, so I'm do you have the
Nope.
PowerPoint?
Nope, I did not receive the PowerPoint.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
So
I have a PowerPoint.
she'll Christy will you can give Christy the sharing
Yep.
authority and she'll handle it.
Okay,
Okay.
perfect.
So I this is new to me, so I'm just gonna stop sharing and
Yes.
so it tells me that the host isn't allowing multiple presenters sharing for this meeting. So I think there's something you have to
Okay.
change in your
So
settings there.
You can make
If it
her an
helps, it was in the materials
administrator.
that were sent out, so we
Was
did
it?
get this, so it's
There
in
we
the
go.
materials.
Right. It's attached. It is attached
All
to
right,
that.
I have changed the
Okay.
host the settings.
Good.
Okay, now it looks like I can do that.
Lovely.
Okay, and I need to.
Perfect.
There it is.
If I can. There we go. Okay, beautiful. All right. So I'm Christy DeMaster with Trilogy Consulting, and also on the meeting today we have Eric Granum with Trilogy. So we're going to present an overview of the plan for this upcoming water rate case, and just hit some of the high points first, and then happy to answer any questions anyone has. I want to start by saying that I am very thankful for your utility staff and just all the hard work and excellent work that they do in preparing all the information that we need for this review. And we're talking about a water rate increase, but there's a lot of good news here as far as how well the your staff are executing the plan to improve the water utility's finances. So we'll share some of that good news tonight. So there's kind of two objectives for this rate case. One is obviously to increase the amount of funding that the utility has available. So there's two components to that. One is an increase in the amount of expense depreciation to cash fund water main replacements. And we're also going to be asking again for a cash adder, which has been a part of the last couple of rate increases, needed to provide adequate debt coverage, and also that provides funding for other capital improvements. And at the same time, we want to make sure that drinking water is accessible and affordable for all of your customers. So there's a couple components to that. One is the rate design, which has lower rates for customers using less water, and that gradually increases as they use more water. So it gives them more control over their bills. And the other piece of that is the customer assistance program that offers reduced utility bills for low-income customers. So this is a little bit of an overview, or maybe a refresher for those who are not familiar with the PSC's approach to setting water rates for Wisconsin utilities. Some of you are very well aware of this, I know. But traditionally, PSC allows utilities to recover your operation and maintenance expenses, your payment in lieu of taxes, and any other taxes. And then the components of the rates that cover your capital projects, they're not done on a cash basis. They're done on a utility basis. So it kind of treats the utility as if it's a business, right? So you can recover depreciation expense. And so normally for water mains, for example, when you install a water main, you get to collect depreciation of 1.3% per year over 77 years. Then they also allow you to recover a return on net investment rate base, which is roughly comparable to like a profit on your utility assets. So it's the value of your assets minus all the accumulated depreciation, and then they allow you to recover a percentage return on that. The current rate of return is 6.2%. In Madison's case, because of issuing debt for a lot of capital projects over the years, eventually got into the situation where that depreciation expense and return on investment pieces of the rates are not enough to cover your debt service and debt coverage. You were allowed a cash adder, which is kind of an additional amount on top of these normal revenues to provide that debt coverage. In recent years, the PSC has recognized that it's a problem to issue debt for funding water main replacements. And so they've allowed a new approach, which is referred to as expense depreciation. So basically, instead of just getting that 1.3% per year over 77 years, you get to expense all the depreciation up to the value that you invested in the mains in a single year. And they allow utilities to use that for replacing up to 1% of your water mains per year. And whatever you're allowed for as expense depreciation has to be spent on cash funding those main replacements. So if you put in $1 million of water mains, instead of allowing you to collect $13,000 per year in your rates, they would allow you to collect $1 million per year in your rates. So it really does provide a new funding source for that main replacement program. And the thing is with this is you have to prove that you have a ongoing year after year sustainable program of main replacements. So that's kind of what I just summarized there. So that's what we're asking for. You would get, in addition to the other items that I talked about, you would also are requesting, you obtained last time and would request again, expense depreciation in addition to your normal depreciation on all of your other water utility assets. So in the last rate case, I labeled this the 2021 rate case. It was technically filed in 2021, but just for perspective, the rates from this case did not go into effect until March 1 of last year. So you're just starting to feel the impacts of that rate increase in the last 12 months or so. So the utility obtained approval for $5 million per year of expense depreciation, and that's enough to replace about 0.4% of your mains per year. So you're well below that limit of 1%. It did allow the utility to generate increasing revenues for cash funding other ongoing capital improvements. The level of capital investment that the utility was undertaking between 2019 and 2022 was quite low for the size of your utility. So that is an important goal to continue to increase that capital investment program. A really big accomplishment since 2021 was reducing the utility's outstanding debt by about $30 million. And you obtained approval for a customer assistance program, commonly referred to as MADCAP, that actually reduced the monthly water bills for low-income customers in spite of the rate increase last time. So the plan for this rate case, and this has been, we had this plan put in place with the 2021 rate case. It's also included in that financial plan update that the utility adopted last year, and we're continuing forward with that. So the goal this time around is to get increase that expense depreciation and that main replacement program from $5 million up to $10 million, which would put you at about 0.8% of your mains being replaced per year. Want to continue reducing outstanding debt. The goal is to get your outstanding debt as a percentage of your equity down to no more than 50%. You're currently at about 63%, but just for perspective, a few years ago, 2019, that was above 80%. So you've made great progress since then. Continue to increase the amount of revenues available to cash fund other capital improvements. And the goal here is really all the ongoing capital improvements should be cash funded from current revenues and just limit debt to those larger projects, the major projects. And then we want to talk about streamlining the customer assistance program to help increase participation. So just a quick overview of what we're looking to request between normal depreciation expense depreciation, return on investment, and the cash adder, we're hoping to get about $40.5 million available per year to cover your debt service plus cash-funded capital improvements. So right now, your debt service is at about $18.9 million per year. That we're expecting that to stay at about that level through 2028 and then start to decrease a bit. So that leaves you about $21.6 million for annual cash-funded capital. So $10 million of that would be mains. And that those expense depreciation dollars can only be used for mains, and you're going to have about $2.5 million per year of associated services and hydrant replacements as well. So after netting that out, that leaves you about $9.1 million for other capital projects. So that will fund the majority of your capital from current revenues. There will be a need to borrow for some of the major projects. All right, so this shows you, you know, how much of that total budget that we're looking at for the rate case is going towards different components of your expenditures. I just wanted to point out that this is showing a lot of improvement since the last rate case. So in 2021, we had a similar pie chart in there. At that time, we were looking at about 34% of your expenditures just for debt, 32% for operation and maintenance, 15% for taxes, only 10% for replacement of mains, hydrants, and services, and 8% for other capital. So you're making great strides towards having more funding available for those necessary capital improvements.
Christy, can I briefly make you pause?
Yes.
Jody Alder Latimer Burris just joined us. You may want to take the roll call, right?
Yes, correct. Thank you. We need to call the roll. President Delmore?
Here.
Vice President Simon? Secretary... Here. Secretary Abrahamian?
Here.
Alder Latimer Burris? Raise your hand or unmute. Let me see. There you go. Thank you.
Here. Sorry about that. Here.
Board Member Callisto?
Here.
And Board Member Srozier?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay. So yeah, to summarize, I mean, really what we're looking at here with this new rate case is increasing the funding available for those necessary capital renewal and replacement projects. So now I want to shift gears to talk about the customer assistance program.
Christy, sorry, yeah. Again. There's a question from Alder Niazzi.
Or Charles. Indicating your attendance.
Okay. Yep, just in case, indicating that my name was not called. So just making sure.
Oh, sorry. I am so sorry, Alder Miadze. Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So I'm going to shift gears and talk about the customer assistance program. And this is where Krishna may want to add some more background, but I'll talk through some of the numbers here. This is the program that was approved in the last rate case. So there's two tiers of assistance. One is for those households falling under in the extremely low income less than or equal to 30% of the area median income. And then the next tier would be between 30% and 50% of AMI. So you see the income limits for households of three persons and what the dollar rebates would be. So it's a $8 per month rebate if you're in that second tier, and $12 per month if you're in the lower tier. And then in total with the municipal services bill, that's a $20 rebate or a $30 rebate off the total bill. So that was what was approved last time. There have been about 482 applications since March of last year. And you'll see here that, you know, the majority were approved, 68%. And we're seeing pretty good, if you look at the percentages of homeowners versus renters, that was one of the big questions, is how many low-income renters have utility bills in their own name and will they participate in the program? And you're seeing pretty good mix between homeowners and renters in the program. This is just some statistics so far on the applications that were denied in terms of percentage. And you'll see the program right now has a requirement to participate in conservation programs before applicants will be getting, you know, before they're eligible for the rebate. So that has been an obstacle for a pretty significant share of households. In some cases, income is too high, but it appears that there may be quite a few cases also where it's difficult to document income. So that has proved to be an obstacle as well. So Christian has been working hard on coming up with ways to streamline this. So we have kind of some different ideas here. One is to modify the application process to allow anybody with food share cards in a household of less than four people to receive the $20 rebate. And the reason for that less than four household members is that up to four persons per household, the food share income eligible limits are less than the MAD cap limits for that $20 rebate. So it would streamline the process of providing income determinations. Also working with collaborating with DHS to mail notification to food share recipients about the MADCAP program so that they are aware of it, and also potentially sharing data so that all ways to get more people involved. With this rate increase, we're asking for a couple modifications to the program. One would be to match or exceed the qualifying income limits with food share limits. So like I said, up to that four person household, food share, MADCAP household income limits are higher than the food share program limits. Once you get above five and above persons per household, then food share limits are higher than MADCAP. So it would expand the number of eligible households a little bit to do that. With the differences in the income limits between the two programs, the other piece of this is to just set the rebate equal to $30 per month for anybody that meets those income limits, rather than having to figure out whether they fall into this income limit or that income limit, because that would make it difficult to use the food share income limits, or really impossible, actually. So we want to streamline that program. And then all the other piece of that is to have the participation in utilities conservation programs be a post-enrollment activity rather than a pre-enrollment requirement. So just seeking to remove as many barriers as we can. So this is our initial draft of what we believe all of these impacts would look like to the rates. So you see the current rates there. Currently, your average household using 4,000 gallons per month would have a bill of $33.90. With this overall, it's about a 15% overall increase that you'd be looking at about $40.14 per month. So an increase of $6.24 per month. I'm showing the annualized percentage increase there because we're trying to keep those below 9% per year. So we're anticipating that with the rate application being filed this fall, these would not take effect until early 2026. So it'd be roughly 3 years from last year's implementation date to when we expect these to be implemented. So that's about 5.8% per year. And with the $12 offset on the water utility bill, those low-income customers that would, you know, enroll in the program would actually see their bill decreased by about $5.76. And then finally, just want to show you kind of where you compare currently and where this rate increase would put you. So a lot of water utilities have been increasing their rates. So you're currently about average for other Class A, B utilities in the state. This would put you up to about the 75th percentile with that increase. So still within the utility's goals of maintaining at or below the 75th percentile. And I also wanted to mention too that in the financial plan that we were looking at last year, we are anticipating this rate would be about an 18% overall increase. So we're actually doing a little bit better than we had projected. So the next steps would be to submit the application to the Public Service Commission, again, recommending that you ask for $10 million of expense depreciation, a cash adder of about $8.3 million, and modifications to the MADCAP program.
Okay.
I'm happy to take questions at this point.
Okay. Questions? Alder Burris?
One second. I think I'm, wait, I don't know if you, can you hear me? Sorry.
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. So I did, first of all, I want to say, acknowledge I was late. I apologize. When we go to Zoom, I try to work right into the moment. So I was on another meeting and I was like, I got to get off to get to another one. So at least coming in person, you get to take a break because you got to say, plan ahead to be on time. I know that we've gone over this before, but what is that breakdown of the $30? I heard that there's a $12 utility share. And then I wanted to know what the other numbers were for the maximum $30 rebate, I think it is, and then maybe $20 rebate. I mean, I'm getting it mixed up, but you'll figure it out. And then the other thing is, what do they have to do in the conservation program? Could you just refresh my memory on that, please?
Okay. Krishna, would you like to respond?
Yes, I'll try. Let's take the $30, for example. So $12 is from the water utility. And those allocations are based on the total budgeted expenditures for six departments that are involved. One is water, the other is sewer. Sewer has a similar proportion of expenditures, so they are closer to our number. The others then fall off in a smaller fashion, where $18 are contributed by the other five departments and $12 from the water utility, making the $30. But that's all based on our proportionate share of budget amounts.
Okay, so could you list what are the other departments again? It's sewer and what else?
I will give it a shot, but January would correct me momentarily. There is sewer. There is recycled program, sewer and water recycled. January, take a shot at.
It's sewer, stormwater, landfill, resource recovery, streets, urban forestry streets.
Look, she's much better.
Okay, the reason I'm asking is we want to know this in the budget because for some reason I think that I don't want it to be sold that we have an offset program for, you know, people that don't have a lot of money or for seniors. And it doesn't have anything to do with taxes. It really, you know, my whole thing, I thought the entire thing was, you know, water utilities. And then I remembered, oh yeah, there are some other departments, but I kind of wanted to get a breakdown. So we're very clear about the offset, the $20 to $30 offset. Okay, and then my other question was about the conservation program. What do they have to do? Could you refresh my memory, please?
Sure. So we have a tie-up with Project Home, who generally does this work for us. And so anyone who is eligible for MADCAP is required to call them and set up a time to come for Project Home representative to come to their household and do a water audit, and they would help them with increased conservation efforts. It could be as simple as fixing a toilet leak, or if they have not applied for a toilet rebate program, they could apply and get the $100 toilet rebate program. The requirements are minimal, so I'll take a moment to explain why we are asking the PSC to change it from a pre-enrollment requirement to a post-enrollment follow-up. because this seems to be a big hurdle in the minds of the people. You know, for us, it's much easier to translate, just call Project Home. People don't want somebody else to come to their homes and, you know, to do a water audit. It's a more of an educational thing, but that shouldn't prevent us from launching this program, and we can effectively do it. And also, this is our take, post-enrollment, they'll be far more receptive to open their doors as opposed to making it a pre-enrollment requirement, just by human nature. So, and we could get there slightly different fashion. And so that one resistance or one barrier to entry could be reduced. At least that's the thinking behind it.
Okay, and can I just follow up on that just a second? Because that's the first thing that I thought about is some people feel like, you know, if you're going to come into their home, you're going to be judging it. You know, if I have clothes on the floor, you know, it's whatever. And so that, especially like when you're struggling, you know, right, and you're asking somebody else to help you. Is there any possibility that, oh goodness, I'm about to ask a question that's a can of worms, but where people can kind of self, you know, if we moved it to the back end, which I think is a good idea, but also where they can kind of self, you know, I think this program is, you're talking about when they install those faucets that you reduce the amount of water, you know, in there. And of course you talked about the toilet. Is there any self regulation on it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that is the thinking. You're speaking on our behalf now. The idea is to send some kind of a conservation kit, maybe the instructions to what to do, maybe a little dye to test if the toilet is leaking. There is a ton of stuff they can do themselves. So that's the thinking now. We could send that package with detailed instructions. And if they want to take it to the next level, they can always call Project Home. So that way it is phased to suit their kind of comfort and convenience as opposed to a major requirement. You know, if it is kind of hard-coded that way, if they don't meet that requirement, we immediately, staff is trained, and rightfully so, to tell them you're not eligible. So I wanted to get that harshness out of that equation.
Okay. Thank you. Eric, you had some questions?
I do have a couple. Why don't we stick on the one that we're on right now on water efficiency audits. So Krishna, just so I understand, what the proposal is now is that after somebody is enrolled in the program, you're going to send the kit that has sort of the water conservation nozzles and a few other things, and then offer to have somebody come to their house or apartment and do a more sort of prescriptive audit.
Right, exactly.
And right now the requirement is they let somebody into their home who does the audit and then gives them suggestions as to what they should be doing.
Yes.
That is, there's no obligation right now for them to actually implement any water conservation strategies. They just have to meet with somebody who comes to the house.
Precisely.
Okay. So I will say, you all kind of know my background here. I'm kind of in this space a little bit. I feel strongly about the water conservation piece. Christy, can you tell us how much this program will cost if we get full subscription at the hope for number of residents?
The universe of households that's eligible to participate is about 8,300. That's our estimate. So, like last time, our initial estimate was about $650,000, but that was with the $8 and $12. So, you know, we're looking at about $800,000 if every single household that participate, you know, was eligible would participate.
Sure.
And
thanks.
So
let's call it $500,000, right? And the $500,000 is a subsidy from all the other ratepayers, right. Just to be clear, right? It's not coming from a free source. We're asking everybody else in Madison to pick up that cost. I feel that the water conservation piece is a small element to get this benefit. It's the same kind of requirement they would have under a focus on an energy approach where there's an, you know, there's an audit done. I get the alderman's sort of concern about people coming into the home, but I feel it's a small price to pay, frankly, for getting what amounts to, you know, somewhere around $150 a month or $150 a year subsidy. So to me, I'm trying to figure out how we can structure it, you know, where they can get on the program before somebody comes in, but they have to agree within a period of time to have,
right,
to have somebody come to the home and do what's been offered before. And if they don't do it, say within 3 months or 4 months, then they get cut off of the program.
Okay. I like that suggestion. At least that meets the spirit with which we are proposing it. You know, 3 months or 6 months, we can figure out a way to do it. That would be a good check to make sure our requirements are met post-enrollment. I mean, that shouldn't be too much of a change to the what is proposed. We can add that component.
Okay. Alder Burris? Oh, I think you're muted. Unmute.
Just a minute.
Okay.
Okay, there you go. There you did it. Thank you so much. So if I could just, lightly push back a little bit, and figure out maybe if they could do an audit via Zoom or the phone, we could consider that possibility, because we don't want to frame it with like, we're fine as everybody comes to our house. I mean, really, for, you know, when you're struggling, you know, you're always feeling judged on the outside world. So you don't want it on the inside world. Your house actually might be messy. And then the other thing is, you know, a lot of, not a lot, but there's some, you know, people of color that, you know, we're interacting with these different agencies. And, you know, we're feeling, they might be looking at other things or whatnot. We don't know not that anybody's doing anything illegal at their house, but it's just it just lands on us differently sometimes. And I think we have to be sensitive. I think we have to be very, very sensitive to that. I know that's all there when I'm asked to go to someone's house, you know, I try to, you know, establish ground before I do that sometimes. For whatever reason, people, it's just not like a suburban thing where it's like, yeah, everybody just come into my house. So I think we have to be very cognizant of that. And I think the numbers actually speak to that. If I saw them correctly, where the audit, the first step is, 55% are not compliant. Is that right?
Yes, nearly one third.
Yeah, so it's something about something, and I think we have to expand our universe of thinking, if you'd allow me to push back.
And can I add, because there was a discussion about $8,000 and $600,000, the 8,000 number, the universe itself, is so hard to arrive at. What has been our experience in the last 18 months? 500 applications. So the 8,000 mark, I think, you know, we were trying to get a good handle on it. This is why we partnered with DHS to kind of mimic the food share program elements with ours. So if we go with the food share universe, it's about 4,000, not 8,000. We are still working on those actual numbers. And so the actual expenditure is far, far, far below than the 100% participation of 600,000. So, and for good reason, PSC called it a pilot program. And as they put it, it's both a pilot for them and us, because this has never been done in the 132 years of their regulations of water utilities. So it's a joint learning process. We only have a universe of 500 applications so far. Maybe this change, we'll get another opportunity in a year or two to review those requirements again. None of this is hard-coded one way or the other. So if we move from this pre-enrollment model to a post-enrollment follow-up, the results would tell us for some strange reason, if the needle does not move at all, that's not what is causing them. So this is more of an experimental phase. if it's a full-blown program in at that 8,000 level, if you start tinkering with it, there are dire consequences. And the way PSC put it at the last hearing, the total requested amount for 2 years was below the material amount for PSC's consideration even. The material amount, Christy, correct me, what is the PSC's material amount threshold now? 400,000 or something, roughly. That's what I vaguely remember.
I don't know if they put a dollar amount on it. I do know that the amount we requested last time was 148,000.
Right. That's way below. That's way below the material threshold. So that is an experimental component to it, board member Callisto, to this whole journey.
Yeah, no, I do understand that, right? It was 148,000. I think now we're talking about at least an ask for 800,000. So I suspect that won't be that'll reach the materiality threshold.
So we are not asking for 8,000. That's a good discussion and a nice segue. The 800,000 is 100% of all 8,000 people. Our projection for the next 2 years would be, I'm making a guess, I don't know if CV have come up with it. That's a lesson I learned from my interaction with PSC. So when we, with all kind of fanfare and enthusiasm, we went before them, they said, out of the 8,000, what percentage do you think will actually participate in year one? So we ratcheted it down to 10, fire, forget it. First year, 10%, the next year, 20%, another 10%.
Right, it was 10 years, and I think it was 10% and 20%, and then they averaged for the test year numbers.
Right. But the actual enrollment was below 5%, if I calculated that number, way, way below that threshold. So the ask would be, it will not be above 145,000 or less. I mean, we finally figure out those numbers. So the total expenditure involved is under 200K, far below the threshold of PSC for the next 2 years. What is germane to this rate case, if that makes sense?
Yeah, and I get you're not going to get to 100%, but just, right. You know, the intellectual consistency with, we want to get more people on the program, right? So we're changing it. So I just want to make sure we're honest with ourselves about both, that you really want to move the needle. But you may not get it as far as you want. But it's an increase from where you were last year. I'm open to a modification that the contact from the water conservation specialist be telephonic or virtual within whatever period of time we can agree with after they get on the program.
That's
3 months
suggestion.
Or 4 months. I think 6 months is too long. So I'd be open to 3 or 4 months. But I do think we need that contact.
Yeah. 4 months with, I like your suggestion, honestly, because there was no kind of a checkpoint to what we were proposing. This brings that. Say within 4 months, the representative from the water utility and or project home would make either a telephonic conversation or a digital if they are open to it. That is, you know, so that will be part of the requirement. For them to agree and set
just
up a time.
To be absolutely clear, Krishna, what I'm asking for is that it has to actually happen.
Yes,
so it can't
absolutely.
Be that there's a phone call and there's not a return call. They have to have the consultation. If they don't
absolutely.
Have that,
absolutely.
Then they
absolutely.
Need to be cut off of the program. That's
absolutely.
My position on it.
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, that's exactly what I'm saying. You know, the telephone conservation or the Zoom call would ensure what needs to be done. And I mean, honestly, we were trying to do a program where we will actively follow up, because conservation, even independent of MADCAP, it's a primary kind of an impetus for us. We do that all the time. So that's not an added burden at all. This gives us another venue to reach those homes to spread the message of conservation. We'll do that. I think both are, at least from staff's perspective, eminently doable.
Okay. It sounds like, Eric, eventually you'd like to make an amendment to what's being offered, but prior to that, I'm wondering if there's any other board member with questions or comments.
Another one or two other questions, not on this topic. I'll finish those up.
Okay, yes, go ahead.
Christy, what is the overall ask for the increase in this case?
I was just doing some quick math in my head because I don't have that right in front of me, but it's the $40.5 million for the depreciation, rate of return, cash adder, et cetera, plus $20 million for O&M. And so that's $60 million. And the pilot, I believe, is about 8. So that puts you at about 68 million.
We have a percentage increase?
Overall, 15%.
I would just think that that's an important number to put in mm-hmm. front of the city council so they see that, because I didn't see that in the material that we had, unless I missed it.
Yeah, Chrissy, can you go back to that annualized percentage slide, yeah. please?
Hang on. It, and I will, so the overall is about 15%. For the average residential customer, we're looking at about 18.4%, and that is annualized to 5.8%.
Director Callister, you know this, right? You know, meaning in most non-regulated water utilities, the rate increase is annual. That was what I was used to, meaning every year you go before the board and ask for a 3 or 4 or 5% each year. In our case, after the PSC approves, it takes almost 3 years for the next approval to come by. So this 18% that Christy is talking about is spread over 2+ years. And so
yeah, just I do not agree with that characterization, right? When my water bill comes in after this rate increase goes, it's going to go right. up 18%.
Absolutely, which is true.
Yeah.
But also, I wanted to sensitize that statement. Because, for example, everybody thinks it is for 1 year. So that's the clarity. So the next increase would hit that household after 2+ years. I just wanted to make that also as part of the percentage thing. You know, if you could call it 18% over 2.5 years or annualize it 5.8%. Both are the
same. Yeah. My strong recommendation is to give them the full increase so they understand what it is. If you want to annualize it too, but...
Yeah,
when people get in it, when they start calling their representatives or calling the utility, it's going to be because they got an 18% rate increase, not because they got a 5.8% rate increase.
Right. Absolutely right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only questions I had. And I'd be happy to make a motion at the right time.
Let's see if there's any other comments or questions from other board members. And seeing none, I guess, Eric, we would be ready for your, I assume, proposed amendment to the case.
Yeah, I propose to amend the conservation program to change the requirement for water conservation from what's been proposed in the materials in front of us to require that the recipient, within 3 months of their approval for MADCAP, to have an actual or virtual or telephonic consultation with the utility's water conservation specialist. And if they don't do that within the 3 months after diligent action by the utility, that they be removed from the water conservation program.
Okay. Is there a second to that proposal? Charles seconds, okay, and Alder Burr seconds. Any general comments on the proposal?
I appreciate my colleagues' willingness to meet me in the middle ground on this. Otherwise, it's a good proposal, and look forward to assisting how we can.
Okay. Do we have additional questions, or are we ready for a vote?
May I?
Go ahead, Alder Burris.
Yeah, so I agree. It's good. It's good halfway. I didn't know if we were doing 3 months or 4 months. And then with the due diligence, we might want to say what that is, because, again, we're trying to educate people on water conservation. We're giving them a credit, for doing so and recognizing their situation. And then we're also trying to bring people along. So it doesn't want to be a punishment. It wants to be more of a, cost benefit. So I think overall, water conservation is very important, but we also have to meet the general public where they're at. So what does that due diligence is that we're going to follow up with them with a phone call and, give them a warning, but not punish people, because the people that are applying are already struggling.
Right. So,
I would propose three. three times. Attempt to get that, you know, three times. Whatever staff thinks appropriate, but to me, three seems reasonable.
Thank you. You know, the due diligence part at least trusts us with doing that. You know, we'll do. The spirit is to make that contact, and if they don't, if there is billing refusal to engage the water utility representative, they are off the program. You know, that is the basis of the attempt, and we will figure out a way to prevent that from happening. And typically, with a phone call. Or an email or a letter and then a follow-up call, most people respond to it. So, you know, maybe a few persons won't do it, but I agree. If they don't meet that requirement, they could be off the program. How about, I mean, you offered 4 months, Dr. Callisto. Can I request for 4 months?
That's fine. Thank you. 4 months is fine.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions or comments? Deb?
I just have one comment about the other agencies that are involved in the $30 credit. It seemed like it's the billings that are on the Madison Municipal Services bill, which most people call the water bill. But there, over the years, we've added more to those. That discussion that will just be at council when this goes to council or the finance committee. Well, there where the other sort of. You know, the urban forestry fee, the other people will kind of, because their share will be increasing with this new program, correct? From what they've paid, not share, but dollar amount.
I can respond to that. So when we had this, you know, our original plans were at a very inflated level, right? The first 2 years, we are far below that. So the initial ask of, it was a total of $300,000. Among all of the partners of this program. So those are already budgeted. So there's no increase from the previously budgeted amounts. We are still tracking under that. And the approval comes in the form of line item budget approval for those affected departments in their budget.
Okay.
Okay. And I think procedurally, we first... need to vote on Eric's amendment. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And we did get a second. All in favor of the amendment as put forward by Eric, please say aye.
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 Okay. Any objections, please indicate. Okay. None. Okay. So I think we now go back to amended rate case proposal. And I think we vote on that again or on the total package. So do we have a motion to approve presentation with the adopted amendment? Okay. Eric indicates he would support it. And is there a second?
I'll second.
Second, okay. All in favor of the rate case proposal that's on the table right now, please say aye.
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 Any objections, please indicate. Okay, seeing none. It passes, and thank you, Christy, for your presentation, and Krishna, for your clarification as well.
Thank you.
With that, I think we are ready for our usual reports, and the first item is the water production monthly report, and Joe, are you presenting?
I am.
Okay.
I have the water production numbers for the last month, which was August of 2024. In terms of daily production, we were at 26.8 million gallons per day on average. And this is slightly up from last July or from the last month of July, which was about 25.4. So up slightly this month, which means our regional surplus was down slightly from last month, and this month it's 12.7 million gallons per day. All in all, good numbers. In terms of year-to-date accumulative production, we were at 5.9 billion gallons. And this is down from last year at this time, about 6%. So we continue to pump less water than we did last year. And I guess recently, which I'll report next month, that's slightly changed a little bit as it got drier. In terms of precipitation, both June and July were extremely wet, and that was followed by August, which was pretty much dry. We didn't get much water at all in August. We were at 2.9 inches total, which is about half of the average. Year to date, as of August 31st, we were at 35.9, however, which is about 10 inches above normal. So overall, way above for the month of August, way below, which was kind of reflected in our pumpage. In terms of the next one, Jody, please. In terms of year-to-date utilization, we had four wells in the red, or above 50%. And we're confident we can get this 50% down on at least three of the wells in the near future. The one well, though, number 11, which is in Region A, probably will not be much lower than the 55% until next year when we get well 15 back online. We're a little bit low. We need a little bit more water in that area. So, and that's coming for next year. In terms of remaining drawdown to pump, water levels in all the wells in August were slightly lower than July because of the dryness. However, all water levels appear to be sustainable for the near future. In terms of year-to-date utilization total, we were at 39.3%, which is up a couple percent from last month in July. So, we had plenty of water left over. So at 40%, we have enough water. So anyways, any questions on water production?
Okay, questions for Joe? Okay. Well, thank you, Joe.
Sure. Thank you.
And we now go to our financial conditions report, January.
Hello. So as of August 31st, our water revenues are down about $300,000 compared to budget. Our total operating fund balance is about $15.3 million. For capital fund, our expenditure is about $22.5 million, of which $15.2 is encumbrances. And so we're expecting our capital fund balance to be about $466,000. With that, we did have an update on our MADCAP data summary as of September 10th. And so you can see that we have received actually over 500 applications now, of which 344 has been approved. And so with that, we have a total of 221 homeowners and 123 renters that have been approved under the MADCAP program. Alrighty. So just to give a little bit more context to our operating fund, our total revenue year to date as of August 31st is about $34.3 million. Our total expenditures is about $29 million. And so our operating fund balance or net operating fund is about $5.3 million. And so add it with that, our carryover fund balance from last year, our net is $15.3 million, as mentioned above. If you want to scroll down, we can talk about construction fund. We're looking at about $18.4 million. You'll note that we do have budgeted bonds and safe drinking water loans proceed. So when we do get that, I'll be updating that. Our actual expenditures, as mentioned, is $22.5 million. And you can see the bulk of it is actually towards facility. And so our ending fund balance for construction is $465,000. And here's a quick snapshot of our cash reserve. We have a total of $53.3 million in total cash and investment, of which $15.9 million is unrestricted. So that gives us a ratio of 1.64 for numbers of month of expenditures covered by our operating reserves. And with that, is there any questions?
Okay, questions for January? Seeing none, I think we can move to our capital projects report. And Pete, are you presenting?
Unless I'm told otherwise, I'm expecting to present on this one. So yeah, happy to talk everybody through it. Good evening, everybody. Yeah, so we're looking through the month of August with this report at this point. So we'll talk through our expenditures and encumbrances. Nice update on our expense depreciation target through the month of August, and then some updates on our major capital projects, and maybe a small look ahead to towards the end of the year here, some other ones we've got in the queue. So I guess with the next slide there, I guess as previously shown, we're looking at about $22.5 million of actual expenditures and or in encumbrances. As far as the August expenditures, facility work is focused, no surprise, on kind of our major projects right now. Joe mentioned Well 15, which we're hoping to have back online by next year. That's currently well underway, as is 19. And then the reason we're virtual right now is work on the conference room. So those are some of the things that we took on expenses for. Fleet slash other, much heavier on the fleet side. That month, there's a truck replacement in tandem with plow equipment, as well as a Jeep that was kind of the bulk highlight of that $270,000 amount. And then two pretty significant pipeline projects accounting for about $1.2 million on Hammersley Road. And then our CIPP, or cast-in-place pipe rehab project, which is essentially complete, and we can have a report on that later this fall as well. So that's kind of the August snapshot. I cannot report that we've hit our expense depreciation target through August, but we are quite close with our pipeline investments. So I can all but guarantee we'll have that met at the next report, and you know, looking ahead to next year and kind of planning out our projects to do the same thing in 2025. We just had a meeting about that the other day, so that's all looking quite good. As far as the major projects go, Well 19, there's been a lot of concrete and rebar work going on as they prepare kind of the backwash tank to be poured in place, as well as the addition to the building itself. We've been in tandem with our engineering consultant reviewing and requesting the concrete tests. They've been performing rebar inspections. We've been getting those on file. Everything is moving ahead pretty well. Surprisingly, the contractor has not yet requested payment for anything they've done yet. I shouldn't say that. They just sent in a pay request for that. So it's fairly comprehensive, given that they started in about April. So we're reviewing that, and we'll be processing pay request number one on their behalf shortly. And then we've got ongoing meetings, inspections as they gear toward the next steps. The most notable of which is the intention to shut down that facility sometime next month, as they will begin to actually work on and inside the current building. So that's kind of the next major phase up ahead. As far as Well 15 goes, a lot of work in the underground tank. We've been discussing kind of cleaning out and preparing, as you know, as long as it's drained and we're in there, making sure that's kind of as tidy as possible. They're also, they've had a few requests on some structural items as they've kind of got into some of their demolition work and in preparation for some new support beams that will be going in as the the large treatment tanks that will be getting delivered in December or January. So in terms of structural support and analysis, they've got some beam installation work coming up, pending, you know, delivery schedules. And similar to any major project, we've been having kind of ongoing meetings, various requests for information as contractors as things come up, just as they're doing the work. But you know, otherwise we're pretty well on schedule with that to hopefully be online sometime next summer with that one as well, and then we can get well 11 back to more appropriate usage levels too. So and then I'll just add question, Eric, I see your hand up.
Okay, questions?
You're muted, sorry,
I was actually, I thought you were done there, Peter. I don't mean to jump ahead of you. It's on expense depreciation. I can wait till the end.
No, that's fine. We can have some additional discussion. I guess that's the end of my structured presentation anyways. Jody, would you be able to go back to the expense depreciation slide though? Thanks.
Yeah, the question, I know we're trying to get $10 million approved from the commission in this next rate case. In terms of sort of doubling the amount of effort, is there any concern about the ability to staff that or to get the work done, whether it's in-house or through contractors?
I do not have a concern about doing that. I'm excited to get our replacement rate up to where it needs to be. My other comment on that is it's a dollar amount. It's not a, you know, we hope it's, you know, a certain percentage of our system, but things typically get more expensive as time goes on. So hitting that dollar amount sort of unfortunately becomes easier in that regard. But we are ready for this.
Will it need new staffing internally or no? Are you fine with the staff that you have?
We'll continue to evaluate. As of today, I'm certainly happy with the staff that we have. I'll add, we are adding another to our inspection group. So as the pipelines get built, making sure it's to our standard and expectation. So it's not just the design element, you know, with our engineering and design staff. So that will be added. We also have hourly positions that we are able to fill as kind of a interim measure of workload. And if that becomes, you know, to an extreme level, you know, at some point you say, okay, these aren't really hourly positions anymore. Maybe we need to add, but I see Krishna off mute and I'll let him add anything if he'd like to that, but I'm excited for the work really.
No, Pete, you did well, you know, and Dr. Callisto, as needed, we will revisit that component either from external, depending upon how stable that is. And then we'll reevaluate each year. We'll get our chance to do that. But as of now, we should be able to approach this with the available resources.
Yeah, and you guys know this is certainly a question you may get from the commission when the rate case proceeds and how you're going to staff it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions for Pete on capital projects or this report? Okay. Pete, in the absence of Dan, are you also doing the operational report?
I certainly can. Maybe more on a happy to answer questions basis. It's fairly straightforward as I understand it. We've got the numbers there compared to through July and then what was done in August. I'll be honest, I haven't fully studied this, but just kind of a cursory look here as along with everybody else. Most things seem to be, you know, fairly prorated or divided through kind of a monthly rate. It does seem like there was for hydrants, a lot of repainting in August. Might have had to do with the favorable weather for doing that, as well as kind of staff availability. But, you know, just I'm always reluctant to speak for Dan, but I get the impression that the kind of operations are kind of proceeding in a fairly routine way, at least for the month of August.
Okay. Any operation questions? Okay, I think we're ready for the public information highlights. Marcus?
Hello, everyone. So you know, we always like to highlight and, you know, give you guys a look into, you know, some of our operations and some of our work in the community and things that we've been doing over the last month. So as you can see here, as you read in the report, the lakefront porch at Madison Water Utilities Well 17 officially opened to the public last week on Thursday, September 19th. So this new lakefront porch sits atop Well 17, which is actually located at the intersection of East Wilson Street and John Nolan Drive, adjacent to the Monona Terrace and directly across from Lake Monona. So basically right in the heart of downtown Madison. The space now actually includes seating, lake viewing areas, and community gardens. So since it is now actually an official city park, it's one of actually 70 or over 70 parks in Madison, it can actually be rented out for various community events and things like that too. And surprisingly enough, this is one of the only outdoor public gathering spaces in downtown Madison. So this unique project actually culminates nearly 30 years of work to create a public space in this location. The First Settlement neighborhood actually first proposed a public space at this site in 1995 in their master plan. But this unique endeavor also culminates nearly 15 years of work of Madison Water Utilities collaboration with the City of Madison Parks Department and other city agencies, as well as the community volunteer committees and the design consultant, Psyche Design. So back in 2010, with money from the water utility, some seating was actually installed there. And in 2014, they raised some planting beds or some raised planting beds were added. And then in 2020, Capital Neighborhoods, Inc., who does a lot of, you know, philanthropy I guess, gathering a lot of good work over in that side of town. They actually received a city neighborhood grant that kickstarted a 4-year effort to make the space more inviting and usable. So a group of volunteers actually raised over $460,000 to add a platform, tables, shade structures, new railings, and garden beds, which this also had some improvements to accessibility to the site as well. And Madison Water Utility actually assisted with funding and design of a new ADA accessible ramp, as well as a negotiation of a long-term agreement with Parks for the maintenance responsibility of the porch space. So as I mentioned, it is a official City of Madison park now. So that kind of negotiation makes sure who's going to maintain that, as it is still an operational well. So we want to definitely make sure that that's, you know, not interrupted at all, the operations at the well. But really just a huge shout out to our engineering staff, particularly Adam W. for navigating the challenges outlined in this report and keeping stakeholders happy through the numerous calls, meetings, emails, and site concept designs. And as I say, while this is incredible, like most things that we do at the utility, this is just another example of, you know, the utility and their continued outstanding service to the community and really being a part of the community. In fact, there's actually a public space that's similar that has some sports courts and things like that on top of Well 24, which is Reynolds Park. So it's not even the first well that we've actually had a public space on top of. And then one of the largest plots of community gardens is actually next to Well 19. And then we have numerous cell phone antennas on top of our water towers, as they are some of the tallest structures in the city. So, you know, even when it's not, you know, the water utility is always willing to help improve the community, even when it's not necessarily water related, which is just great to just be a part of this utility and a part of the city. Other than that, there's just a couple renderings there. But yeah, Jody was going through some of the actual pictures from the groundbreaking ceremony. You can take a look at it. So yeah, it'd be a really special place. Like I said, over 30 years of work by hundreds of different people to finally make this a reality.
So we attended the event. Marcus, myself, and Adam was there on behalf of, and Krishna was there on behalf of the utility. In this image, you see the a couple of our alder men and women, and the mayor, and the woman here in the black, that's Emily DeVoe. She was really the main person behind getting this going, getting this project going. She lives in the neighborhood, and she really took it upon herself to organize this and spend an untold amount of hours making this happen. So you can see her excitement in the image. She got very emotional when she gave her speech, and rightfully so. It took a lot of hours. This group of women And this photo center in the white is Barbara Johnson. She was one of the main people behind also organizing the gardens that are there. So if you visit, you'll see there are boxes and community members can rent each of those garden boxes. So there is already a waiting list for that. And so each individual, so on the lower left here, we have Emma. She has her own box where she grows her tomatoes. And each of these people are very heavily involved in making and caring for those and making sure those are maintained. So I wanted to be sure to capture an image of these people because they put a lot of hours in as well. So you can see in this image just how lovely the space is. There's tables and chairs, and you can see the gardens behind. They kind of ring the seating area, and it's just a lovely view of the lake in the midst of the city, which is very nice. Here again, you can see there's Emily in the background in the black through some of the plantings that individuals have done with the city on view on this side. So it was a really lovely event, and hopefully it will be a lovely space for the utility. In addition, this week, another highlight, we had 26 third and fourth grade students from our Redeemer Lutheran Church tour Well 31, which is our Tradewinds well. The teacher had reached out. They're going to be studying aquifers, pollution, and conservation, and they were looking to see if they could kickstart that by visiting a well. And in this well, we have filtration for manganese and iron. And so they found it, the students were fantastic. They asked very good questions about how our reservoir works, how we maintain it. So it was about an hour long tour that I gave, and the students were just thrilled. So I think this sort of thing really makes our invisible water system very visible to the community and gets them excited about knowing where their water comes from and how it works, and being little mini advocates as they go out into the world and in our community. So it was a very fun day for all of us. So that's kind of what we've been up to and we'll be continuing to do. You can always check out our Facebook page and see what's going on and what's happening in our community anytime you like.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Marcus or Jody? Yes, Alder Burris.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you guys for doing all this and highlighting stuff with water, and wanted to do a true confession that I didn't get to any of the water wagon. I had the one on September 21st on the docket, and then I was at another event, and it just the timing just didn't work. So you have bugged us several times. I don't know if other committee members have been able to make it. But next year, if I'm on Water Utility Commission, which I want to be, I'm going to have to make up for all the times that you've asked us to come, because you guys are rocking hard, making water interesting, and we need to support that. So I apologize, and I just made an on-the-record commitment.
Okay, thank you. Deb?
I just want to mention that I did go to Trucks and Treasures, and the water wagon wasn't there, which was fine, but I did see a big water truck. And the employee that was there, there was a little boy in the driver's seat, and very excited to be there. His parents were taking photos. And then I think he was getting a cap. I think I heard that he was going to be getting a cap. So it was kind of a fun event, and it was nice to see the water utility vehicles there.
Okay. And Deb, that was at Olin Park at the...
Yes.
At the pool site.
Right. Right. And there were, when we got there, the fire truck was leaving, but there were other city vehicles there. And there was a coffee cart. Yeah. So a nice car.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I stopped briefly as well. Yeah. So thank you.
And I wore my t-shirt.
All right. Excellent. Yeah. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Could we have a motion to approve the reports that we've just heard?
I'll move approval.
Still moved.
And second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, that is approved. Prior to getting to the evaluation, which Eric is going to be doing, we will be getting an additional board member, most likely next month. It's currently in process with the city council. The mayor has made a recommendation. So we're hoping we'll have a new member join us to fill one of the vacancies that was there. Also, Jody will be assigning board members to lead the evaluation based on an alphabetical order. And I believe Eric is near the front of the alphabet. So Eric, if you would lead us through the evaluation.
Sure, happy to. First requirement is that all members actively participate in discussions and have the opportunity to voice opinions, positions on agenda topics. I think we had a good conversation today about the rate case proposal, so I think that was fully met. In the same vein, I think we all came prepared to engage in discussions by reviewing what we had in advance, particularly on the rate case filing, so I think that was fully met. We engaged in active listening and mostly avoided interrupting other speakers. To the extent that was violated, that was me. My apologies, but I think that was, we can call that fully met. Certainly honest opinions and respect on the viewpoints of other members. And again, got some compromise today, so I think that was fully met. We honored the board procedures and policies. And represented the collective interest of current and future Madison residents, again, coming back to the rate case, which is going to have material impact on everybody in the city. And finally, did we make decisions based on equity principles, considering the decision's impact on all residents? I believe we did, considering who's benefited and who's burdened, again, particularly focusing on the rate case discussion today. I think that was fully met as well.
Okay, well, thank you. And thank you, board members, for your productive discussion tonight and for being present. And we will see everyone virtually next week. Deb, a question?
Oh yeah, before we adjourn, I don't know how many people saw this, but we did receive an email about 3 o'clock today from Alder Rummel. And I'm just curious, she couldn't be here she couldn't actually register, but she is talking about a opinion that came out of the U.S. District Court in California about fluoride. So I was curious, at least maybe next month, we could get an update on how that level compares to what ours is. She's asked the attorney's office to do something with it and also water. So I figured I just happened to notice it, and it did come in free. So I'd like to have it addressed, at least know what we're doing moving forward. Thank you.
Okay. And Krishna, I think I have a general response as to how the water utility has responded in the past to similar requests.
I will go. I'll focus on the specific email that we received, Deb. It's primarily a request for the attorney's office to review the recent decision by the appellate court of Northern California on a fluoride matter. So honestly, we would wait for the attorney's office to render an opinion on that judgment. And based on that, we will bring up, any proposed changes that we need to make, we'll bring it up to you. But I am hopeful that we'll get a response from the city attorney's office before the next board meeting. Mm-hmm. So we'll bring it back to you with our own comments.
Okay, thank you. Charles, did you have a question or comment?
Oh, no, Krishna pretty much answered it. I think, but Krishna, don't we have our own city attorney within the water department that can just give us an overview?
Yes, although the email was formally addressed to the city attorney, Mike Haas, we have a designated deputy city attorney who would probably do the work. But I leave it to Mike.
I mean, that's an employee of the city attorney's office, not an employee of water, but there is an attorney assigned to water.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But I don't know how it's going now, but sometimes those can take a while to get an attorney. Yeah.
But since we are responding to a U.S. appellate court judgment, none of us are attorneys. I would really want the city attorney's office to respond, and then we will pick it up from where they leave.
Right. All right. And it is an alder that's requesting it, Alder Rome. Right. So, yeah. Okay.
Krishna, can you just have somebody share the citation or forward the link to the case to the board members in advance of the meeting so we can take a look at it?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That is a good point. I noticed on the email, and again, I didn't see it till a little while ago. It went to Water Utility Board at City of Madison, but then it does seem like she didn't have a complete list of the members. Because the Alders got it, I got it, Pat got it, and Ronisha, but I don't see the other members. So it could, that email could be forwarded too, so that you could see it. Because I think she attached the court ruling, a very lengthy, like 80-page document. So that's probably what you're looking for. So yeah, maybe Jody could send it on to the other members.
Yes, I'll momentarily do that. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you. With that, I think we are nearing the end of the meeting, but we need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Okay.
Second. And all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.